It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Simply put, every year there is a certain measure of each season that we observe and record, those of us that are phenologists, and then we can look back and go, oh, this one comports with that one, or this one's earlier than that one, or that one's later than this one. So, and there are some really dynamic signs of spring out there, including, and Alan up in Hibbing had sent me a note last night after I'd gone off to bed, wondering if there were reports of black bears. And in fact, I had a good report of a reliable witness of a black bear back on March 25th. And the average is, well, it's all over the place because black bears are hit or miss. You either see one or you don't. And sometimes a whole year can go by and you won't see a black bear. And other years, you know, they're wandering about in your yard from early spring on. Typically in March, the bears awaken and come out. Mostly young males are the first. The females with cubs, of course, will try to stay as long as they can. The interesting thing about emerging black bears is that you would think if you'd been asleep for 6 months and suddenly woke up, you would think that the first thing on your mind would be food. And in fact, for the black bear, it isn't. They wake up and they wander around a little bit, and they take a week or two to kind of get their bodies back into motion. And then they begin to eat. And typically this time of year, they'll strip buds off of aspens to get food because there isn't a lot for them to eat out there. They might rumble around and visit your bird feeder, so you may want to take some caution there. I have been visited by a black bear in the past couple of years who is very thoughtful. He stands tall enough that he doesn't need to wreck the feeder. So he just comes up and lays his head on the feeder and licks all the seeds off. And then because he doesn't want to get between the house and the bird feeder, he reaches up and he turns the feeder around with his hand or his paw, and then he licks all the seeds off the other side. And I can always tell, even if my dog doesn't alert me to the fact that he's there, if he comes at night, I can tell in the morning because there's nothing left on the feeder. He licks every little seed hole out of every little crevice on that feeder. It is spotless when he's done, so I can always tell when he's been there and cleaned things up. I've had other years and other bears and have had to do some repairs on them. I find that when that happens, I just make sure there are no seeds on the feeder at night, and the suet comes in and everything's just put away so that they can't create problems. But black bears are out, so be aware and think about your bird feeder as you're doing that. I had a remarkable Tuesday night last week after the show. Well, it was in the evening, last Tuesday night. I came home and I was maybe watching a hockey game or a basketball game or something. And my wife said, there's an eagle approaching the nest. And the female is sitting on eggs in the nest. And I quickly dashed upstairs because in my bedroom I have a spotting scope that's focused right absolutely on the nest. And I got up there and I looked through the lens of the spotting scope, and it's a variable from 20 to 60 power, and I've got it right around 40 power. So I'm right in the nest with that thing. And the eagle came in, and rather than sit, you know, the way a bird does, upright sort of, he was horizontal, and I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't been able to figure out what was happening at that point. And I thought, well, maybe they're going to, you know, copulate. Maybe there's going to be, you know, maybe this is part of their mating. But what he was doing, was he was regurgitating food that he had collected somewhere. Because immediately after he's horizontal, he's flat, his back is parallel to the ground, and he's regurgitating food into the nest. And immediately after he's done, he spins away and flies off the nest and leaves. And like I said, I'm looking through my spotting scope, so I'm right in her ear, and all of a sudden she's eating. And she starts eating, and she eats for almost 5 minutes. So I don't know how much food he brought, but she ate continuously. She would drop her head, come up. I would see her chewing and swallowing. She would drop her head, come up, and she would chew and swallow. And that went on for almost 5 minutes. So she got a really good meal. And he must be a really good provider, because she's still there, and she's still hanging in there and doing her thing. But she ate for about 5 minutes, and then and at no point did she like put her talons into something and rip at something. It was all just dip your head, pick up the food, and eat it. So this is something that he had torn off of whatever he was finding to eat, fish, deer, whatever, and it was in chunks that she could just consume. And she ate the full meal, and then she turned and I could see her messing with the egg or eggs, and then she settled back into brooding. And it was just like, I was thunderstruck. I was like, oh my God, I know this happens. I mean, you read about it happening, but here I've witnessed it happening, and it was quite stunning to see him come in and do that. If that weren't enough, later that night, about 9:30, I went out with my dog. And I thought to myself while I was outside, this is the time of year when the saw-whet owl should be back. And so I whistled the saw-whet owl call, and I didn't hear anything. It's that truck backup alarm. That kind of a sound. So I whistled it maybe two or three times. And I stood there for another minute or two, and I didn't hear anything. So I went back inside, and about 15 minutes later, I got a note from a friend of mine, and he said, the Northern Lights are out. And so I grabbed my camera, and I went outside, and I looked off to the north, and I could see this kind of gray, whitish fog in the north. And I thought, well, that must be the Northern Lights. And I held my camera up and took a picture, and of course the picture was beautiful reds and greens and colors my eyes were not seeing because it was dark out. But while I was doing that, a saw-whet owl called, and I was just floored. I was just like, oh my gosh, I would have missed this if I had not been alerted to the Northern Lights. So two propitious things, the eagle and the saw-whet owl. I was just agog. I was just knocked out. It was so cool to hear that saw-whet owl and to actually see the eagles doing what they were doing. It was quite the day last Tuesday. Tuesday night was pretty spectacular. Back to normal life. Trembling aspen. You should be able to see the male flowers on the trembling aspen now. Now, aspens are dioecious. That means there are two houses. There's a male tree and a female tree. The male tree catkins develop earlier and will be more noticeable than the female catkins. The female catkins will be smaller and less noticeable, but they will be out soon because the male catkins are starting to distend. I have some that are almost an inch long, and as I said, they're pretty easily discerned now. If you're looking at trembling aspen in your neighborhood, you probably are able to make out the fuzzy buds that are there on the trembling aspen, so give them a look. On the 26th, I had a great blue heron report, both from Dallas Hudson over in Chingabee, and from Jack Gustafson, who lives over south of Cass Lake on Portage Lake, I believe. And both of them reported seeing great blue herons this past week. I'm not surprised. In all the years that I have been keeping track, the great blue herons are always here sometime between the 25th of March, I guess it's been as early as the 23rd of March and about the 5th of April. It's just that confined. Their range is very, very short, less than 2 weeks. And I believe that is because that they come back based on day length as opposed to temperature. And speaking of temperature, the robins have been back. I saw my first robins on the 13th. And from there, I have seen more and more robins. And finally, on Friday, I was coming into town and there were flocks of robins. I saw two big flocks of robins, 30 or more birds on Friday. And sitting here at KEXE Studios, there is a couple of robins outside the studio right now on the ground. The 13th was about 2 weeks early. The 24th is actually the average date for the return of robins to Grand Rapids in my data set. And so it was early for them to return, but they were plentiful. I found each week that I went over to Cohasset to work with the school kids, we found robins out and about throughout the town. So, yeah, they are back. And I had a conversation with a friend, Sarah Card. Sarah lives in Balsam Township, and she told me about snows on robin's toes. And I questioned her about it, and this is what she replied. She said, "My grandpa would say we could expect 3 snows on the robin's toes." And he was a farmer in southern Minnesota in Le Sueur County. And her father is also a farmer in that area. And she said, "So I try to track them here in Balsam Township. It seems we have more snows on toes this far north." And Sarah has begun, well, she's got 5 coming on 6 years of data set. And her first of the year robin snows on toes, she calls it, in 2021 on March 10th, 8 or 7 snows on the robin's toes before the end of the season. In 2022, first robins March 30th, 8 snows after March 30th on the toes of the robins. In 2023, April 9th, and 5 snows on the toes of the robins. Last year in 2024, March 12th, and 5 snows on the toes of the robins. And this year, 2025, March 15th, and she has so far 2 snows on the toes of the robin. And I suspect that she's going to add 1 in the next 24 hours. And hopefully, you know, maybe we'll get by with her father and grandfather's 3 snows on the toes of the robins. But I love the image. And it's such a nice way of keeping track of phenology. Sarah, thank you so much for that note. That just really made my day. It was quite nice. Canada geese are out checking out Crooked Lake. And as soon as the river opens up, they'll probably be in there. There's a little stream that flows in, flows out of Crooked where I live. And I'm pretty sure that they'll be settling in as soon as they find enough open water to sit on. Sandhill cranes. I saw my first sandhill cranes on March 26th, and I heard their first song, and this was early, 13 days early by my records for songs, and 15 days early for sightings. So the 10th of April is about the average sandhill crane sighting date, but I see them oftentimes before that. Pardon me. I heard my first robin singing on the 27th of March, and I've heard a couple since then, so you probably are maybe hearing a few robins singing in your neighborhood as well. The red-winged blackbirds are here. Typically for red-winged blackbirds, let's see, this year the average is the 28th for the males. The average return date for the females is May 3rd. So you will not be seeing any female robins for probably nearly a month. This year, the red-winged blackbirds, males were in on the 17th. In 2021, on the 14th, the earliest I ever saw red-winged blackbirds was on the 6th of March in 2000. The latest, April 22nd in 2018 and April 19th in 2008. So they've been kind of all over the place, but this year pretty early. Ruffed grouse, I heard them drumming. The average date will be the day after tomorrow, Thursday the 3rd. Earliest was the 14th of March in 2021, and the 14th of March in 2017, the 18th of March in 2012, the latest April 28th in 2013, and April 21st in 2018. I had a conversation with a curler from Hibbing, a guy by the name of Nick Zubich, and he told me that he had woodcock, both the visual sighting of woodcock and heard them singing. And of course, you will want to make yourselves aware of them. They will be back in the area, are back in the area now. They have that unusual peent call that they give, and then they make a kind of a whistling noise with their wings in a courtship display. And if you go out in the evenings to the edge of a field somewhere near you, you will probably hear them doing their little flights and singing their little songs. So check those out. Chipmunks I saw my first chipmunk on the 27th this year. The average is the 24th of March. The earliest was the 2nd of March in 2010. There are some odd cases where chipmunks come out in the middle of winter just for a day or half a day or just a moment and kind of check things out and then disappear. So chipmunks are pretty close to average. I saw my first one, as I said, on the 27th. The average is the 24th. Great blue herons are back. Average for them was the 28th. We talked about that. A couple of plants that have given off signs of spring. The speckled alder, the tag alder, average date is April 3rd. I had pollen release this year on the 30th, March 30th. The earliest I ever had pollen release from the flowers, the male flowers on the speckled alder, was the 10th of March in 2000. And the 18th of March in 2012 and in 2010. The latest I ever had pollen release was in 2013 and 2018, when it was on the 22nd of April. So a little bit of a delay there. This year, pretty early, 4 or 5 days early. So silver maple. That's another one that averages flower, the first splitting of the bud, the first little flower structure that you can see. And if you go out and look at your silver maple buds, they're nice and round. That'll tell you that it's and red. That will tell you that it's a silver maple. The red maple has a similar bud. The silver maple has a bit of an upturned branch at the end, sort of kind of like, it just rises up a little bit, curls up. But truth be told, if you find one that's in flower today, it's a silver maple. The red maples are still tight and will be for another week at least, depending on the weather. But the silver maples, if you look at the buds, where you have this little round red bud, you look at it, and right at the end of the bud, you're going to see a cluster. Like if you take all of your fingers and your thumb and put them into a tight little group and then grab them with your other hand and pinch them together, so you see five little nubs sticking up. That's essentially what you're going to see when you look at a silver maple bud that is open. You're going to see more than five, but they're going to be these little rounded red knobs at the tip of that bud that are open right now and quite a bit redder than the than the bud itself. The bud tends to be a little bit brownish. The flower tends to be quite red. And it will quickly develop and become gray and then yellow as it becomes more mature and the pollen matures. So be looking for that. Let's see. Thunder. I had thunder for the first time at my house and a quarter of an inch of rain on the 28th of March. Woodcock, ruffed grouse drumming, talked about that. American kestrel, beaked, and I checked the beaked and American hazel yesterday very, very closely and saw no sign of female flowers. The male flowers are starting to stretch out a little bit on the hazel. I would expect that in spite of the snow that's forecast for the next 24 hours, I fully expect that by the time we talk next week, the hazel will have begun to flower. So we'll be watching for those. If you're out looking for hazel brush flowers, they are tiny and they are red and they are, once you find one, you'll find a lot more. But until you find one, they are darn near impossible to find. They're really quite indistinct. And so if you do come across one, get a good look at it. Once you get that target in your head, you'll see a lot of them. They're going to be plentiful in a week or so. That's our Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry to drone on so long, but hey, spring is coming and it's worth it. So get out there and enjoy it.
You can catch Phenology at our website or sign up for that Season Watch newsletter. It's available at kaxe.org. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. We just heard from Finn Billy from Smoky Hills. He says, greeting folks. Please tell John that basswood buds are delicious and nutritious. They taste like green beans. And don't forget to have some fun today.
Basswood buds.
Yeah.
Well, then if you're looking for basswood buds, remember that they are bright red. Pretty easy to find if you look for alternate branched bright red buds.
Okay.
And kind of a light gray stem. And if if you look back further, you're going to see a big gnarly trunk with lots of fissured bark on it.
Have you tasted them before?
I have not, but I know where some are and I'm going to be tasting them before very long. I will find out about those things, Billy. You can count on it. I'll be tasting them. And if I'm not here next week, why, go get Billy. It's his fault. I'm joking. I'm sure they're tasty, and I will definitely try them. And I know if I try them and I'm with a group of kids, they'll all try them. So they won't wait 24 hours to see if it killed me. I'm confident that that will not be the case.